could feel the presence of God all over this place. If you've ever wanted to receive something from God, now's your opportunity. All it takes is an open heart. All you have to say is say, God, either you're going to come down here and touch me, or I'm going to go up to heaven and I'm touching you. Hallelujah. It's true. One touch from Jesus changes everything about you. All it takes is one cry out to God and the fire of God will fall from heaven and you'll be on fire for God for the rest of your life. And your life could shake nations for the gospel. Hundreds of thousands of people could go to heaven just because of one encounter with Jesus. That's all it takes. And the presence of God is sweeping across this field right now. All it takes is a hungry heart. The Bible says if you're hungry and thirsty for God, then you'll be filled. That's what the Bible says in Matthew 5. That if you're hungry and thirsty for God, then He'll fill you. God's looking. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to give strong support to those whose hearts are blameless towards Him. There's strong support coming to you tonight. Tonight, right now, I'm about to pray for every person that wants prayer. And if you have anxiety or depression, it'll go away. The moment that I pray for you, it'll go away. Just like that woman that was deaf from birth, God healed. God will heal your body tonight. If you need power from God, God will give you power. If you need a touch from God, God will give you a touch. But all it takes is faith. You know, there's one currency in the kingdom of God that purchases anything. And it's the currency of faith. The current faith. All it takes is one person that says, I'm going to touch Jesus. And I know that when I touch his garment, I'll be healed. Just like the woman with the issue of blood in the Bible. She was struggling for 12 years with a blood problem. And she pushed through the crowd. She heard Jesus was coming that day. And if she didn't push through the crowd to touch him, she wouldn't have been healed. You know, Jesus didn't think about how she was coming that day. Her faith got her miracle. She went and tapped into the power of God and got her miracle in that moment. And if she didn't do it, she wouldn't have gotten the miracle. And she said, I know if I but touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And then Jesus was in a whole crowd of people. And when she touched him, he stopped and he said, who touched me? And all the disciples said, what do you mean? There's like 50 people touching you. He goes, no, somebody touched me with a touch of faith. Tonight's your opportunity to touch Jesus with a touch of faith, where the power of God will fall from heaven upon your life. And you'll be on fire for Jesus for the rest of your life. Sin will flee out of your life. Sickness will flee out of your life. Depression will flee out of your life. Suicidal thoughts will go. Voices that you hear in your head, they'll go. The moment I pray for you. But you got to connect your faith with God. You got to believe that what God says is true. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. He's not like man where he says, I'm going to do something, but then he changes his mind because it's inconvenient. When God speaks something out of his mouth, his word is so powerful that he has to abide by his word for the rest of eternity. And what does God say about healing? He says that I sent Jesus and by his stripes you are healed, which meant that he took stripes on his back just to purchase your healing. He didn't have to do it, but he did. So tonight, when you activate your faith and you open up your heart, and when I pray for you, whatever you need from God, God will give it to you. Do you believe that? You believe that? So right now, anybody here, I don't care if you came up to the altar call or not. If you want a miracle, or if you want a touch from God, if you have an incurable disease in your body, if you have a problem like anxiety that you want to be free from, or anything in the mind, or you hear voices, or you're struggling with this suicide, like some suicidal thought, whatever it is, if that's you tonight, or number two, if you want this touch from God I'm talking about, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you want the power of God to rest upon your life so that your life counts for eternity, so that you have power from God to pray for people and them get healed. If you want that right now, then line up right here, but give some space because I'm going to walk side to side, single file, shoulder to shoulder, and I'm going to pray for each person right now. And when I do, the moment that I pray for you, I'm going to touch you, put my hand and touch your head. And when you do, power will fall upon you and you'll receive. Spread out a little more. Make some space in between so I can get through.
Well, Welcome, welcome, welcome. I feel like this is like the opening to like the Hunger Games. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Monday night, new edition of the live stream. Let me know what you think. We switched some things up. That was the first time we played the video of the UNT Crusade on the live stream. That was the second. Basically, we did two preaching sessions. We had an altar call, and then we had a message to get people hungry for God, to get people healed, get people experiencing miracles, and get people touched by God. And so, in that video, right before that, there was a girl that I prayed for, and she said that she felt fire like all over her body. She came up to me for prayer wanting God to touch her. And then we got up there, and that was the video. It was about 5 minutes. And the Lord was just touching college students. So I figured we'd throw that out at the beginning just so you could see what happened at UNT, because we have many more of those planned for this next coming year. I want to do at least 4 crusades in 2025. And I'm already praying through what the Lord wants to do. But thank you for watching the grand premiere of that. Hopefully that blessed you. Tonight, we're going to talk about your covenant with God. We're going to talk about God's covenant with you. God's covenant guarantee is what the title of this is, God's covenant guarantee. So what you need to understand is that you have a covenant with God. There's a covenant that you have with God that is an agreement that's, I don't want to get right into my message, I'm trying to intro, but you have a covenant with God that with it is an agreement between two sides, you and God. And in that agreement, there's things that God promises to bring to the table, and there's things that you promise to bring to the table in that agreement. And so you made this agreement with God when you got saved. When you got saved and you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you were agreeing to a covenant with Christ, ratified by the blood of Jesus, saying that God is going to uphold his end of saving you and bringing you into heaven, giving you eternal life, and you're going to uphold your end of submitting to Jesus' lordship over your life and following him. So everything in the kingdom of God operates on covenants. Everything. And because without it, there's no guarantee for us on this end of the deal. God's in heaven and he's in full control. And if God could do whatever the heck he wanted, which he can, but if there was no guarantee from him as to, or a binding contract on God's end as to what God will and won't do, then God could just say that today we're going to heaven if you believe in Jesus, and tomorrow he could smite you down regardless of how much you obey him. So the kingdom of God works on covenants. It works on these relational agreements. So there's several things about the covenant that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what the covenant is, which I already kind of laid out a little outline. We're going to talk about the principles of it, how to work it. We're going to talk about the blessings in it for you, things that God promised on your behalf. And we're going to talk about Abraham and different testimonies of the covenant. But if you would, open up to Genesis chapter 17, and we're going to start this off talking about covenants and why covenants are important. So Genesis 17 verse 1 says this: When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. So right out of the gate, God shows up to Abraham and he says, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. So right out of the gate, God establishes two things. Number one, that he's God, the Almighty God, the one that created the heavens and the earth. And then two, what he ought to do because of the fact that God is Almighty God. The first entry point into the things of the covenant is really the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fact that God is Almighty God, and that because God is God and he's a righteous judge, I'm going to live in fear of him, and I'm going to submit to him and do what he tells me to do and live to please him. Because the only reason I'm on the earth in the first place is because God put me here. Many people live like they're entitled to their lives. You're not really entitled to your life. You've been put on the earth for a purpose by God, and you have an assignment to fulfill. John the Baptist was only on the earth just to fulfill his assignment. Jesus was on the earth only to fulfill his assignment. And once they were done, God took them back. He took them to heaven. You're here for an eternal purpose. So he reveals, right out of the gate, there's an expectation on God's end of the way that you are to operate in this relationship that he has with you. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. So then what happens whenever God makes a covenant agreement with you? God comes to Abraham and he says, look, Abraham, I want to make a covenant with you. And when I make this covenant with you, it's going to multiply you. It's going to bless you. It's going to increase you substantially, much, much more than you could ever do on your own. But you have to uphold your end of this covenant. And when you do, it will guarantee that you're multiplied. It will guarantee that your life is multiplied. The Bible says that unless a seed is buried and dies in the ground, it remains a seed. But once it goes into the ground and is buried and dies, then it qualifies to be multiplied into a great and mighty harvest. And the Bible said that talking about Jesus. It was talking about the fact that Jesus was offering his life as a seed, and that whenever he laid down his life for mankind, it produced a multiplication of sons and daughters. And Jesus is our older brother. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the brother of a lion is a lion. We carry God's DNA. We've been born into God's family. We carry his image. The life and divine nature of God dwell on the inside of us now because of the fact that Jesus laid down his life and sowed his life as a seed. So in the same way, you have to wholeheartedly give yourself to your relationship and covenant with God. I feel like I'm jumping the gun, but whatever the Lord wants to say. So understand this right out of the gate about the covenant. Number one, is the covenant, a covenant with God, a covenant in and of itself, is an agreement that's ratified by blood. So it's like a contract, but it's greater. So when you sign a contract, it's ratified by ink, and it's an agreement between two parties that if this side does this, then it will receive this, and if the other side does this, then it will receive this. So both sides receive something only if both sides keep the deal. And if both sides don't keep the deal, the contract is voided, or there's a punishment that comes along with it. Now, a covenant is even greater than that because it involves blood. So a covenant means to cut. And it involves blood because you're offering your life on the line. You're binding your life into the covenant. Because the blood is the life. The Bible says that the life is in the blood. So you're putting your life in the covenant fully, saying, I yield myself to the terms of this forever. And I promise to uphold these terms forever. And so God, the Bible says that when Psalm 89, verse 34, well, this is the second point about the covenant, is that every covenant with God is eternal. When God makes a covenant with you, it lasts for eternity. Genesis 17, verse 7 says this, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. So God didn't say here, for my descendants after you, until Jesus comes and changes it. or only for 2,000 years, but then this contract, it'll wear out. The terms will wear out over time, and you can't trust them. It's not what it says. It says it is an everlasting covenant. Everlasting means from that point in time, forever. That covenant remains. Forever. God spoke to David, and he said, as long as the sun still shines and seed time and harvest remains, so long as that exists, my covenant will exist with you. And my covenant with David will not be changed. So the covenant is eternal. And it doesn't matter what comes after it, that covenant remains. You can't go and back out of it. You can't produce another covenant later on that nullifies the prior covenant. This is important because there are all these Christians that say, oh yeah, well maybe back then God prospered and healed people, but now there's better things in the new covenant. Now, you know, we don't care about such carnal things. Now we only care about salvation and eternal life, which, yeah, the new covenant includes eternal life, but you can't nullify the past covenant. And all of Galatians 3 talks about that. Galatians 3 addresses the fact that every covenant that God's ever made with mankind continues on forever. Psalm 89, verse 34. Open up to Psalm 89, verse 34. You can even include verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. So God's literally saying, as long as the sun and the moon exist, my covenant with David, as him having a descendant on the throne forever, will always exist. God is an eternal God. So when he does things, he does eternal decisions that have eternal consequences. But listen to this. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. So God equates his covenant and his word to being one and the same thing. What this means is this, is yes, there's the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that God made with Abraham. And yes, there's the Davidic covenant, the covenant that God made with David. And yes, there's the covenant of the Spirit that he made with Christians and with the church, ratified by the blood of Jesus, the covenant of the Spirit. And yes, there's all these individual Bible covenants of things that he made with groups of people. But the Bible itself is a covenant because every word that comes out of God's mouth is never altered or adjusted or changed or revoked, which means that every word that God speaks out of his mouth, every promise he makes, everything that he decrees becomes in and of itself an eternal covenant. So all of the Bible is a covenant. Every word of that book is a covenant on God, of what God will supply on his end if you keep up your end. That's why this is another reason why God says, walk before me and be perfect. And Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. There's an expectation of the fact that it's possible for you to keep every part of the covenant, to walk perfectly. If you're created in the image of God, and you're created like God, does God make mistakes? Does God not have the power to fulfill his promises? Does God not have the power to do what he said he was going to do? In the same way, you have the same power. You have the power to live free from sin. The Bible says that sin has no more dominion over you. The Bible says every time that temptation comes, there's a way out of it because of the faithfulness of God. So if that's the case, you can live perfectly. You can live and uphold your end of the covenant. And you can walk in victory. The The word testament means covenant. So the Bible is divided into the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Now, what's the difference? The difference is that the Old Covenant was waiting to be ratified by, or to be fulfilled and brought to fulfillment and completion by Jesus. But it didn't end. You see, Jesus came along and gave us the power to fulfill the terms of the Old Covenant. But then to take the promises of the Old Covenant and add the promises of the New Covenant together into the New Covenant. So God can't abandon his old promises. If God abandoned his old promises, he would be lying to you, and he would have been lying to Abraham about the validity of that covenant. But he said this is an everlasting covenant to all your descendants, forever. So what God did was he took all the promises of the old covenant, and he, when he spoke those promises, he guaranteed that they would be eternal. But then he took the new covenant and took those promises and added them onto the old covenant. So it's like the old covenant plus more documentation. Then he took the terms on your end, what you have to do to qualify for the old covenant. He fulfilled those terms in Christ, placed you in Christ, and gave you new terms, the terms of faith and obedience. So now you don't have to go sacrifice lambs. Now you don't have to take a trip to Jerusalem to keep the feasts and to do all the Jewish law and customs. You don't have to do that. Now what you have to do is you have to walk by the Spirit and live by faith, because faith pleases God. And then lastly, God says this about his covenant. I can't believe I wrote down the book but not the verse. Let me see here. Okay, Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. If you're watching this, share this on Facebook. Like it and share it. This is going to help somebody out there. Get it out to as many people as you can, because people are going to get victory tonight. Seven, verse 9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. I'm looking for one more verse here, because I don't think that was it. What is the verse about the covenant of love? Can you find that for me? This says it. This is. Did I miss it? Okay, here we go. Here's another version of it. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. So God's covenant is a covenant of love. So God established the covenant in love, which means that he wanted the best for you. The love of God is self-sacrificial. The love of God is all-giving. The love of God is unconditional. And the love of God always wants the best for you. So when God established his covenant with you, he established it with the terms of love involved, which means that in making this covenant with you, it would be unconditional, it would be all giving on his end, looking to give, looking to bless, looking to fulfill his end of the covenant. It would be self-sacrificial, and it would be for your good, for your profit. But it says, to those who love him and keep his commandments. So that means that there are terms or principles that you have to keep on your end to qualify you to receive God's end of the covenant. So what are these principles? There's three principles of covenant living. Number one, the number one principle of covenant living is obedience. You have to do something on your end to guarantee that God does something on his end. Open up to Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 2. So this in my Bible is titled, Blessings on Obedience. So in this chapter, God's going to go through and lay out the fact, the list, basically, of every blessing that is involved in this, in the Old Covenant. But right out of the gate, he lists and tells you what you have to do to receive them. So he says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So if you don't obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe carefully to do what he says to do, then the blessings of God won't come upon you and overtake you. So the number one clear access point to the blessings of God and to the blessing of the covenant and to God's covenant guarantee is your obedience. The Bible says, if you love God, you'll obey his commandments. And then the Bible says this. The Bible says, faith without works is dead. So that brings us to the other two pillars or principles. Principle one is obedience. But what's obedience made up of? Obedience is made up of love for God. And obedience is made up of faith. So the Bible says that for those who love him and keep his commandments. So point number two is you have to have an all-in love for God, a wholehearted love for God. When David slayed Goliath, he said, is there not a covenant? Is there not a cause? So his love for God prompted his obedience to fulfill his end of the covenant. And he was placing his faith on the fact that he has a covenant with God, a covenant that made him greater than all the other nations of the earth. So love fuels, is like a fiery gasoline on the fire of covenant obedience. Love fuels covenant obedience. Your love for God and your love for the kingdom of God fuels you keeping your end of the covenant, because it's a covenant of love. Many people miss this part of it, because they see that we have a covenant and they try to faith confess it, which you do have to have faith to enter into it. But if you don't have a love for God, then you'll miss it. This is why Jesus said, if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you as well. You have to have a love for God. And then number three is faith. Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So in order to receive from God and to please God and to ratify your end of the covenant, you have to have faith in God and faith in the covenant. Now the word is the covenant, but the thing that makes the word steadfast and reliable is God's character. So your faith is not only in the words on a page, the word of God, your faith is in the character of God. Because the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he promised and will he not fulfill? Has he spoken and will he not bring it to pass? So your faith is in the character of God. So faith qualifies you to receive the terms of the covenant. And without faith, you can't expect to receive anything from God. The Bible says that anything that does not come from faith is a sin. That's because you're called to be a faith person. God is a faith God. God is love, but God walks and uses faith. Walks by and uses faith. God used his faith to create the world. David had faith in his God. He didn't just have faith in just the covenant. He had faith in the God that was backing the covenant. So you must have faith to qualify to receive the blessings of the covenant. Now, there are three clear blessings that I have written down. You can go further, actually. Covenant blessings. Actually, it's four. Four covenant blessings that you have access to in the covenant. Number one is this. The first covenant blessing that you have access to is prosperity and abundance. Malachi 3:10. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So God's made a covenant with you to take care of you when it comes to prosperity and abundance. There's a verse in here. Let's see here. Yes, Job 22, verses 21 and following. It says this about prosperity. It says, now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Talking about acquaint yourself with God and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Another way to put it is to lay up his covenant in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. So that's talking about obedience. It's talking about obeying God with your conduct and with your lifestyle. 24. Then you will lay your gold in the dust. Or another translation is, then you will lay up gold like dust. And the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver, for then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him, he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. So you see, things work whenever you keep up your covenant. It says that you'll declare a thing and it will be established. But you see, there's terms of the covenant. You can't live in sin and expect the covenant to work for you. You can't live in sin and expect your words to work. But the moment that you get sin out of your life, and the moment you acquaint yourself with God, and you seek the Lord, and you get his words in your heart, in that moment, prosperity comes, your words and your confession work. It says your prayers get answered. Everything changes when you delight in the Almighty. It says Verse 26, for then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. But number one, prosperity is one of the covenant blessings that you have access to in God's covenant guarantee. He guarantees you prosperity. The Bible says that whatever you sow, God gives seed to the sower and bread for food, and he'll multiply your store of seed so that you have an abundance and that you're able to bless other people at any given time. You can't bless freely if you have scarcity. If you don't have enough money to pay your bills, you don't have money to give to people. All of your money is going to your own needs. God wants to prosper you so that you have more than enough money to fund the kingdom of God and to meet your needs. Number two, covenant blessing is divine health. Go to Exodus 23:25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. So God says that there's a blessing for serving him. If you serve God, he'll bless your bread and your water and take sickness from the midst of you. So not only will he heal your diseases, but he'll remove sickness out of your midst. Divine health is a level above that because getting healed of your disease gets you back to even. But God's saying that there's a way to live above that where sickness can't even dwell in the midst of you. The Bible says that no plague will come near your dwelling. Amen. K. Jesus in me says if you live according to God's laws, statutes, and commands, you'll be blessed. That's right. So God has this blessing that he wants to loose on you from heaven. A blessing is God's divine empowerment to prosper, or God's grace to prosper. It's power that you don't have. It's divine power that God releases on you to prosper you and to make you healthy and successful. The Bible literally says that if you hearken unto God's word and if you meditate on it day and night, that you'll be prosperous and successful in everything that you do. So that means that there's a way to succeed in every situation, and it's in the word of God, and it's in the covenant of God. Because God's covenant and his word are the same thing. That reminds me of a verse. Give me a second, I'm going to look it up. Good old philosopher ChatGPT. Bible scholar. He's like all in one. Okay, Psalm 25, verse 14 says this: the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So when you fear God, and you're mindful of obeying God, and you care about living holy and keeping up your end of the covenant, then God, it gives you access to the secrets of God, where God then shows his covenant to you. When God spoke to Abraham, he said, go outside and look into the sky. Look up there and see all the stars. And he said, so shall your descendants be. So God had to show him something. He had to see it with his eyes. And once he could see it with his eyes, he had a vision for it. And he could have faith that, in what exactly God was going to bring to him. So if you don't have clear understanding of the covenant, and you don't have the word in your heart, then it's hard to receive, put your faith in it, or have any substance of faith to rest in, because your faith is placed on the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And there are many people that have faith for individual things of the word, like salvation, but they don't have any faith for healing, and they don't have any faith for prosperity, and so they receive salvation, but not healing and prosperity. Because the word of God is specific. This is important. The word of God is specific. When God spoke the word of God, his word, and he said, light be, trees didn't form. What happened was light formed. So in the same way, when you receive the word of God, you have to receive individual, the specific word of God. You have to receive the word for healing. You have to get it in your heart. Then you have to get faith in that word. And then you have to speak that word and confess it out of your mouth. You have to get your words to line up with your faith. The faith that's in your heart, the substance of faith that's in you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And you have to speak that you're healed. It's very specific. You have to get revelation on the specific terms of the covenant, of what you need to do on your end, and what God will bless you with, what's coming, what you're placing your faith in. And the Bible says that God shows the secrets of the covenant to those that fear him. It's like this. If somebody respects you and as a person, and you have a relationship with them and you can trust them, then you might take them into your house and show them around if they're a friend. But if there's some stranger, you're not taking a stranger in your house and showing them around. Because the first person, the friend, has respect for you, respects you, respects the way that you keep your house, respects the way that you live your life. And the other person doesn't respect you enough to have a relationship with you. So it's the same way with God. Those that respect God, that fear God, and honor him as God, and conduct themselves accordingly, get access to divine secrets from God and divine revelation and wisdom from God that sets them above everybody else. And when God shows you his covenant, it gives you a wide open door to grace that other people don't have. But that only happens if you fear the Lord and obey him. So number two is divine health. And there's that continues to the new covenant. Romans 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Verse 2 says this, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. And then verse 5 says this, those who live according to their flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when you're spiritually minded, your mind is fixed on the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, and you receive Zoe, according to this scripture, life. And the Bible says that the law of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. And then it says this about that same life in verse 11. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life, Zoe life, to your mortal bodies. Through his spirit who dwells in you, the spirit of life. The law of the spirit of life in Christ. What that means is that God's life, the thing that makes God God, his Zoe life, his eternal life, the thing that makes him eternal, the thing that makes him God, that life, when it gets into you, heals your mortal body, just like it did for Jesus. It says that life, the spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, injected the life of God into the dead body of Christ. And when he did so, Jesus raised from the dead. So that life is the resurrection life of God. Resurrection is the fullest extent of healing. If you get raised from the dead, that's more than just a healing and it's more than just a miracle. That's a combination of healings and miracles to bring you back to life. So when the life of God goes into your body, it heals you from the inside out. He's the spirit of life. The law of the spirit of life in Christ. Another way to put it, the spirit is the Holy Spirit. So it's the law of the Holy Spirit of life that comes to you when you're in Christ. If you're saved, you're in Christ. So it's the law of the Holy Spirit to those that are saved, to those who are Christians. And that law, a law is the way that things operate. So it's the natural way that things operate by the Spirit of life for those who are in Christ. It's the law of the fact that if you're a Christian, the Spirit of life injects healing power into your body. It's a divine law. It's a law, just as much as the Word of God is a law. Just as much as the Word of God is steadfast and God's character is proven, so much so, there's a guaranteed law, just like the law of gravity, that the Holy Spirit will inject healing power into your body from the inside out and heal you from the inside out. So that not only are you healed of every disease, but you're also free from every plague coming near your dwelling. John G. Lake lived this. He said, "The Spirit flowing out of my spirit, out of my soul, into my body, and out of the pores of my skin puts every single disease to death before it can ever even get to my body." And he lived in a time where there were incurable diseases. He was burying people with incurable diseases as a pastor. People were dying, dropping dead left and right. But he was unfazed. Why? Because he placed his faith in the covenant that he has with God for divine health. He saw, God showed his secrets to him. He sought God, and God showed him the covenant of divine health that he has. And when you have a covenant with God, it means that it's impossible for you to not receive God's end of the covenant as long as you keep your terms. Amen. Psalm 91. That's where that verse comes from. No plague shall come near your dwelling. This is I'm pretty sure that's the same one. Here, we can open up to it. Another one's Psalm 103. Here, Psalm 103. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. So God doesn't just save you from all your sins and get you to heaven. He heals you of all of your diseases. What does all mean? The Hebrew word for all means all. And then Psalm 91. Praise God. Verse 3, it says, "Surely," 91 verse 3, "Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." This verse, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. So people may say, well, everybody's dying of this. Well, it doesn't matter. Because as long as you're in the covenant, then I don't care if a million people die of that disease. You will stand without any sickness touching your body. Because God's not a man that he should lie. And that same thing will happen for you today. Get this into your spirit. Let it change you from the inside out. The Word of God has power, but all it takes, you got to get light. Once the light shines forth, everything will change. Many people stumble in darkness their whole life, not knowing the terms of the covenant. Walk in darkness, not having the light of the Word of God. And they wonder why they bump into everything. Why they bump into every disease that comes along the way. Because they're in darkness. But the moment the light comes on, it doesn't matter what's on the floor. It's easy. You attain dominion. You get the power to juke and dodge every disease that comes your way, every spirit of infirmity that tries to take you out. The devil's not a fool. You can have 90% of what you need, but he'll find out the 10% that you don't have, and he'll attack you in that area. So you can't afford to live ignorant of the revelation knowledge of your divine health. And of the covenant. You have to know what you have in Christ. You have to know what's in the covenant. You have to know what's yours, because if you don't, the devil will come for you in that area and try to rob you of your life before your destiny is fulfilled. That's why the Bible says that he'll fulfill the number of your days. There's a guarantee that God will fulfill the number of your days. That means whatever is in your spirit, however long you want to live in your spirit, that's the fulfillment of it. Do you want 120? Take it. Moses did. Moses wanted 120, so he took it. Because he saw in the covenant that he got to choose. You choose what you get in life. You choose what you receive from God. It's your choice. God's given it up to you to decide. And you decide with your faith and with your obedience and with your love and your consecration, your wholehearted devotedness to the covenant of God. David was devoted to the covenant of God. He was devoted to getting the kingdom of God to established on the earth. And because of that, there was nothing that God wouldn't bless him with. In fact, God spoke to him when he said, if this, what verse is it where he said, if I gave you, it was whenever he sinned. And God said, I gave you your master's kingdom and your master's wife. And he said, if that wasn't enough for you, I'd have given you much more. He said, if that wasn't enough for you, God gave him enough to be satisfied. He gave him what he chose. And God literally said, if you wanted more, I'd have given you more. Whatever it was, because you pleased me with your faith and with your consecration and with your obedience. Because you upheld my covenant, you cared about my kingdom, and there's no limit to how much I'll bless you. You get what you choose in life. You get what you set your faith on. All it takes is building yourself up to that level of faith. And there's no limit. There's no limit. There hasn't been a man that's lived on the earth yet, other than Jesus, that's received the fullness of blessings available in the covenant. Hasn't been a single man. There have been many men that have seen a lot of it. But the Bible says that you go from glory to glory. The Bible says that in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest above all the hills, and that all the nations will stream to it to be taught by God. That means that the church will be the greatest entity in the last days, and that the nations of the world will stream to the church to receive blessing and to be taught by God. The church didn't even exist 2,000 years ago. The church isn't going down, the church is going up. You go from glory to glory. That means that there are Christians right now that will experience the greatest blessings of the covenant that the world's ever seen. There are Christian billionaires waiting to be risen up. It's not God's will for the money to be in the hands of the wicked. Hallelujah. Number 3, dominion. This is a big one. One more thing on divine health. That means fruitfulness. That means that there is no barrenness. There is no miscarriage. Bishop David Oyedepo said that his wife came home one day and had gone to the doctor and said, "Honey, we lost the baby. We had a miscarriage." He did not even look up from what he was doing. He out of his spirit. He goes, "It can't be so." He goes, "It cannot be so. Now can I have my food?" He knew that it was impossible. He knew that no symptom, it was just a lie of the devil. It was the devil overstepping his hand, trying to get her to bleed, to make him think that they lost the baby, and to back off of his faith and to get into fear so that the devil can take the baby. It's a lie. The devil has no power. He only has power with what you give him. He's a master trickster. In fact, he's the best trickster. There's no deceiver and trickery greater than that of the devil. So he has no power. His power was stripped from him. The Bible says that Jesus made an open show of the devil and stripped him of all of his power. So he made a mockery of the devil. And he crushed the serpent's head. It's already been done. The devil's power is gone. Jesus is the one that holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave, not the devil. If Jesus holds the keys of death, then that means that he's the one that you appeal to decide when you're going to die, not the devil. Death is not in the hands of the devil, and death is not in the hands of the sickness that the devil brings. He has no power. The only power he has is the power that he's able to, or is the power that you give him whenever you allow him to deceive you and to trick you out of the terms of the covenant. That's why you have to hide God's word in your heart. You have to have light on the word of God. And you have to stand firm. Anything that you won't stand for, you're not entitled to keep. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But if you don't resist, he won't flee. So you must resist to stand in your in the covenant for the devil to back off and to hand over anything he's taken from you. Dominion, Exodus 1:28. And we'll wrap it up here. No, we got one more, and we'll wrap it up. Sorry, Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So God created the world and he gave man dominion. Dominion is power and authority. Now when man sinned, he gave that dominion up to the devil. But then Jesus was the second Adam that went and destroyed the devil and created a whole new race of human being in his line, in his lineage and seed of supernatural human beings that carry the God on the inside of them, and that carry the divine DNA and nature of God on the inside of them. The Bible says that you're created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The same righteousness that God has, you have. The same class of holiness that God has, you have. Same class. You're created in the class of God. The Bible says that you're a lowercase g God on the earth. And Jesus affirmed that. He said, does the scripture not say, for ye are gods? That's what Jesus said, talking about human beings. Which means you're called to carry dominion on the earth. And the covenant puts you in dominion. Because once you take a stand on the covenant, you become unshakable. The devil, like I said, the devil has no power. He only has power of what you give him. Jesus has given you the keys. And he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in the heavens. What you bind manifests in your life. It's bound in the spirit. And you bind with your words, you bind with your actions, but mostly with your words. And then number four is this, salvation. The covenant blessing is eternal life in heaven. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. So when you believe in Jesus and place your faith in Jesus and confess Jesus as Lord, then you'll be saved and you'll inherit eternal life. But the thing is it's not once saved, always saved. You have to live for Jesus. You have to give your whole life to Jesus. You can't be half in the kingdom of God. You have to be all in. You have to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You have to yield everything to God. I did that when I was 16. When I was 16, I grew up a Christian my whole life, but I'd never had an encounter with God. And I told God, I said, God, if you're not real, then I'm not going to do this anymore. But I need you to speak to me and to show me that you're real. And I told God, I made a deal with him. I said, I'm going to go on this mission trip. And when I do, I'm going to give you my best effort. And if you speak to me and show me that you're real, then I'll give you all of my life. And there was a moment in time where I looked back at this crowd of people that we were in doing evangelism, and God spoke to me in my heart. And he said, Grayson, he said, if you believe the Bible, and if you believe that the only thing that matters is who goes to heaven and who goes to hell, then you would have just yelled the name of Jesus in that crowd of people. Because who knows if this is the last time they'll ever hear the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus is the only name under heaven by which a man can be saved. And I want to give an opportunity to you, if you're watching this, to give your life to Jesus and to get saved. If you don't know if you're saved or not, if you're not certain that if you were to die tonight that you'd go to heaven, but you want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus and go all in for him, make him the Lord of your life, then right now I want you to pray this after me. And when you pray this prayer to God, the Holy Spirit will fill you on the inside and he'll make you a new person. He'll wipe away all the sin, all the guilt, all the shame, and it'll give you a fresh start. Pray this after me. Say, Jesus, today I give you my life. Today I place my faith in what you did for me on the cross and in your shed blood for me. Cleanse me of my sins. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose from the dead. Fill me today with the Holy Spirit and give me a power to live on fire for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, Jesus is Lord, and I'm saved and going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that comment, please let me know so I could celebrate with you. Shoot in the comments, say, Grayson, I prayed that prayer. I prayed that prayer and I'm saved today. I'm going to heaven. I want to see it in the comments. Hallelujah. Well, I hope this blessed you today. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you real quick. If you need a miracle in your body, put your faith on this prayer. God will heal you right now. We've had plenty of people healed in the live streams before. God's not limited by a TV screen. It's very easy for God to heal people. Faith pleases God. When you place your faith in the healing covenant that you have in Christ, that windows of heaven are opened over you, and God easily just stretches out his hand from heaven and touches you. And one touch from God is enough to raise somebody from the dead. Just his voice alone has enough power to create all of the world. It takes very little from God to heal you. All it takes is for you to qualify in the eyes of God. And you qualify by faith in the covenant. So right now, believe this. The Bible says that Jesus took stripes on his back to purchase your healing. That means that he didn't have to take stripes on his back. He did it so that you could be healed. So he kept his end of the deal. Your end of the deal is to believe God and have faith and receive this. So right now, receive in your body this miracle. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, I loose angels from heaven. I loose the power of your Holy Spirit into this person's room, whoever needs healing, and heal them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Deliver them in Jesus' name. Any devil in their mind, come out. Out. And any cancer in their body, I curse it from the root. I command you to wither up and die. Any sickness in your body, I command it to come out. Any spirit of infirmity, I command you to leave and to never return. Hallelujah. The anointing's here on this. Be healed. Be healed in your body right now. I loose the healing power of God like a fire that is going to burn all sickness and disease out of your body. Any missing bones, I command them to come back into place. Any broken bones, I command them to heal. Any problems with the mind, be healed in the name of Jesus. Receive the mind of Christ today. And any infertility or anybody desiring to be pregnant and to have children, I loose brand new ovaries into you right now in the name of Jesus. You'll never struggle to have children ever again. You're no longer barren. You'll have as many kids as you want for the rest of your life. That I command that devil to come out. That's keeping you from having children. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. The anointing's strong in here. Praise God. I hope this blessed you. If you have a testimony, let me know in the comments. I want to know who got blessed and who got touched. Well, I love you. This is the end of the broadcast. Thank you for hopping on. We'll be on tomorrow night. I won't take an offering tonight. I don't feel to. But tomorrow night, I'll probably take an offering. If you want to give into the ministry, we have many things that the Lord's put in our heart to do in different countries of the world. In Nigeria, there's an idea of going to Nicaragua. I want to do something overseas by the end of next year. That's what I feel in my spirit to do. And then we're doing college crusades and crusades all over DFW right now. And so if you feel led from the Lord to sow into that, this is a great place to sow if you believe in souls, if you believe in reaching people on college campuses, and if you believe in overseas missions. This is a great ministry to sow into because we're believing God to do at least 4 crusades this next year to impact the state of Texas, to shake whatever's in the spirit in Dallas and in these different college campuses where the devil wants to get people at a prime age. We're going in there with the gospel and we're busting it up from the inside out. And to reach people and to win souls all over the world. Some people are called to go and reap the harvest. Some people are called to give to the harvest. Amen. Okay, we'll look into it, Amanda. But if you do feel called to give to the ministry, then you can just go on our website, thevictoryliveministries.com, and go to give, and there's plenty of options and ways to give there. But tomorrow night, I'll talk a little bit about giving and give a formal opportunity to give. But I love you. Thank you for everybody that hopped on. I hope this blessed you tonight. We'll be on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and we'll hopefully tomorrow we'll bless you. I love you. I'll see you soon next time. Have a good night.